Now you're probably thinking, oh, you know, not only have I been invited to church, but now I might have to do something. Well, no, I just want you to hear very carefully. We only do, you know, what did Jesus say? Did he say, I do everything I need to do? No, he said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And do what my Father tells me to do. So the most important thing is we're listening to what our Father tells us to do. Great. Well, as I said, we're at the end of our series. Then we're at the PAL Expo, and then we're going to be starting a new series in the 11th of February. And so we've gone on this journey. We've thinking about what if everyone prayed? What if everyone gave? What if everyone invited, which we were thinking about last week? And then this week we're thinking about this theme of what if everyone served? And if you weren't here, you remember each week we ended with a question. So in thinking about what if everyone prayed, we had these questions, thinking about what time do you want me to pray? How often do you want me to pray? How long should I be aiming to pray for? And is there someone you are prompting me to pray with, and how often? Again, it's very easy in church life to move fast through things. So I just wanted to recap the journey that we're taking on and just to help us think about how we're doing in answering those questions. Then we thought about this whole area of giving as well. And this question of, Lord, in the light of your generous love, what one new thing do you want to do in my finances this year? And again, a number of people signed up for the Christian Finance course. So I know Michael, who's up on there, will be thinking, working out the next steps in relation to that. And it's still not too late to sign up for that finance course if you want to do that. And then last week, Michael was posing us the question, is there someone you want me to invite as well? And just to listen to the Lord to that and be faithful to him. And so this morning, again, what is the question? Well, the question that we've penned down is there an area of service that you may be calling me to try out? And it's good to know the direction that we're going in. So as Gary shared, we gave every one of these, everyone has one of these, I trust. And again, the aim of this really is to, at the end of this time, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to come before the Lord and just say, is there an area of service that you may be calling me to try out? And then listen to him. All the areas are listed here. And then if there is one, you can then fill this form in and then place it in the baskets. I'll remind you at the end where we're going. And also, as well as placing it in the basket, depending if you're already serving in an area, you can then take your post-it note and place it on the wall. So maybe if you're already serving in counting, you can put your name and place counting there. Or if you think, I can count, but I'm not currently in the counting team, then can you count, by the way? Okay, maybe it's only me that can count, oh dear. Okay, well, if you think I can count and I'd like to be in the counting team, you can put your name down there as well, and then you can put your form in here. I'll remind you at the end, because 20 minutes is a long time before the end of the sermon. So, great, well, and again, this all fits into this idea of the verse for our year, which is thinking about, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And the reality is the Lord wants to do new things in our prayer life. The Lord wants to do new things in our giving. The Lord wants to do new things there in our inviting. And also the Lord wants to do new things in our serving area as well. The reality is, serving isn't just what we do. A servant at our core is who we're called to be. And if you want to follow this morning, again, I've put together one of these note sheets, and that is the first one on the top of the note sheet. As well. And also there are some questions at the back. So you're welcome to follow along if you find that helpful. Serving isn't just what we do. A servant at our core is who we're called to be. Well, with that in mind, let's turn to the Bible. We're in John chapter 13. So if you have got a Bible near you, then please do turn along. We are in page 763, at least, of this Bible. It's one of the famous stories of the gospel of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and it's in John chapter 13, verse 1. That's page 763. So reading from verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Amen. Well, it's a famous story, and it's a story that well deserves retelling on many occasions. Because the reality is that the, I guess the society we live in is inherently self-centered, caught up in self, and the, you know, committing to things becomes harder and harder and rarer and rarer. And the reality is, as leisure time increases and as entertainment options increase, the pulls on our time become even more intense. You know, how should we use our time? You know, there's work to be done, there's this place to visit, that place to visit. And if you want, serving just becomes another option on the menu, and it doesn't become a very attractive option on the menu as well. And yet Jesus' teaching about what it means to be a disciple is all about denying oneself and taking up one's cross and following him, to die to one's selfish nature. Jesus' teaching is all about not living for the self, but being selfless and taking on the very nature of a servant. And the story it was set at the time of Passover. It would have been a Thursday night. And Jesus was about to give his life, not just for the disciples that were there, but for the whole world. And one of the themes that we can see in the Gospels, and one of the questions the disciples loved to ask each other is, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? They had that conversation not once, but twice at least, and especially nearing the time when Jesus was died. And you can imagine them as they were there together discussing who was the greatest. You can think how the conversation unfolded. Maybe Peter was like, "Well, you know, I am the greatest. You know, who else walks on water? I walked on water. Did you walk on water?" And you can imagine them saying, "Well, Peter, you may have walked on water, but you only managed 3 steps and then you sunk." Or maybe John was there. "Well, I'm the greatest, you know. Well, didn't you read in the gospel, I was the one Jesus loved. I was the one Jesus loved." And they're like, Bartholomew maybe thinking, no, I am the greatest. And like, Bartholomew? No one's ever heard of Bartholomew. They don't even know you're a disciple. You see, that's the conversation they're having. There's Jesus at the end of his life, the one that came not to be served, but to serve. And as he's sitting there around the table, what does he see as he looks at his disciples? He sees two things. He sees proud hearts and dirty feet. Proud hearts and dirty feet. And then he picks up the towel and wraps it around himself and goes for the basin. And at this point, you can imagine the disciples thinking, Jesus, what are you doing? You can't do this. You are our master. This is scandalous. How can you, our master, be going down on your knees to wash our feet? You see, that was the tradition of the time, in the same way that if you would come to my house, I would say, welcome. I'm not expecting you, but welcome. Let me take your coat. And can I offer you a drink? And in those times, they would say, let me take your coat, let me offer you a drink, and let me wash your feet. Because the roads were dusty and dirty, and the sandals they wore didn't cover their feet. And so that would have happened. And what you would do is you would invite someone in to your home, and then you would call your servant to wash their feet. The host would never have washed their feet. And yet, as Jesus looks on at their proud hearts and their dirty feet, he picks up an apron, wraps a towel around him, takes a bowl, and washes their feet. Who is this? Who is this that is doing this? Who is this that has done this act? You see, this is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Bread of Life. He's the living water. He's the great high priest. He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He is the righteous judge. He's the living stone. He's the true vine. He's the King of glory. He's the chosen one. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is our Redeemer. He is our righteousness. And he is our sanctification. He is our rock. And he is our Lord. And yet he gets down on his knees and washes the disciples' feet. And what he was doing, and he tells us that at the end of the story, he's saying, I'm modeling what it means to be human. I'm modeling what it means to be a servant and to serve. So in this story, I just want to pick up three things that we see happening here. You see, the first thing that we see happening is we see him taking the towel. So he wraps a towel around his waist. Now, if you were to go into a Christian shop or a Christian store online, what would be the one symbol that we most think about that sums up the Christian faith? The cross. Oh, that would be the preeminent symbol. You think about it, the cross. Well, you heard it first here at Crossroads, because I am starting a new movement. It is called the towel movement. You will wear them around your necks. You will have it on your t-shirt. You see, you heard it first. Actually, when you go to the Palexpo, I expect you to be taking your towel and wearing it. You see, because Jesus said, this was what it means to be a servant. You see, he said, as you've seen me do this, you are to do the same. You see, and what did he do first? He took the towel. That was the picture of servanthood. He took the towel. You see, and actually the reality is, Jesus has given you a towel of service. You may not have realized this, but actually he didn't just give you salvation. He didn't just give you adoption into his family. He didn't just give you the Holy Spirit, but he said, I'm giving you another gift, and that is the gift of the towel of service. Now, you may be thinking, but I don't want to get my towel dirty. You know, I quite like this towel you've given me, Jesus. You see, and actually, as soon as Jesus gives us that towel, we begin to make excuses. Let me tell you what happens. We say, well, I haven't got time to use the towel, you know. Thank you very much for giving it to me, but you know, I'm quite a busy person, and so I'm very sorry. I've got no time to use the towel you've given me. Or we can say, well, Jesus, I'm just not worthy to use this towel. I mean, who am I? Who am I to use this towel? Don't you know? Don't you know me inside out? How can you give me a towel to be used? You know, I'm not worthy to use it. Well, then we can say, well, I don't know how to use this towel. I mean, how do I use this towel? What do you do with this towel? This is getting complicated now, Jesus. You've given me this towel and you're expecting me to use it. I'm not qualified to use it. I haven't been to towel training school. How do you expect me to use this? Or then my personal favorite. That looks like someone else's towel. I don't think that's my towel. I know there's a serving opportunity there, but I think that's someone else's towel. Sorry, Jesus, you gave me the wrong towel. I don't think that's my towel. You see, we can make whatever excuse we like, but Jesus calls us to take and put on the servant's towel. Just turn to your neighbor and say, take the towel. That's not loud enough. Just say it again. Take the towel. Okay, now turn to your neighbor and say, touch the toes. Okay, I didn't say touch my toes. I saw some of you going down to touch. No, I said touch the toes. Okay, you see, because that's what happened next. You see, Jesus took the towel and then touched the toes. You see, he moved towards people. Jesus is always moving towards people. You see, and actually when we think about what service is, it's not just taking the towel, but there's something involved. It's touching the toes. It's moving towards something. I mean, this morning, there's Giles up there, and he is touching the toes. He could have just said, well, I'm on the service team, but actually he's gone towards the sound desk. And you can carry on having a conversation, Michael, don't worry. In a minute, I'll be finished soon. I don't want to interrupt you. And he touched the dials, and he's touching the toes. You see? And actually, it takes compassion, doesn't it? It takes compassion to touch toes. It takes compassion to move towards someone and do something. I was thinking about, we could have called this, what if everyone cared? Because the question is, do we care about youth and children's work? Do we care about worship? Do we care about welcome? You see? And the question is, we need compassion. We can say, well, I've got the towel, but it's not good enough. We need to touch the toes. That takes compassion. So don't just be a towel wearer, be a toe toucher. That's almost tweetable, that. You see, and that means we need to get close. But that's the kind of God we've got. We don't have a distant God. Praise God for Jesus, because he came down into the world. He entered into the world. He touched the world. We just think about some of these things. We can think about how Jesus healed a leper through his touch. How Jesus healed a woman with lifelong problems through his touch. How Jesus' touch gave life to the dead. How Jesus' touch gave sight to the blind. To get involved means touching the toes. When you get involved, it means you move towards something. It means you get closer to something. And you see, the reality is we can't sit there and say, well, I'm not needed. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians, actually, he says, when you're talking about church and there's different people in different places, don't say, I don't need you. Which basically means, don't say, I'm not needed. Because actually, you're here for a purpose. You've got a place. God's got a plan for you. And the reality is that the secret of kingdom leadership, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, is love expressed through serving in lowly places. And toes are lowly places. You see, you have to bend down to touch toes. You see, I can't come here and have to remind me your name now. Remind me your name. Don't stay there, stay there.
Michael.
Okay, so you see, I can come to Michael and I can say, Michael, I want to wash your feet. Please, will you put your foot in the air? No, I'm not going to do that, am I? I'm not going to say, Michael, come on out, put your foot higher, please. Because I'm a busy guy, and if I have to get down on my knees, that means I'm going to invest time and energy in touching your toes. So really, just make it easy for me. Put your foot up. You don't have to do that. You see? If I'm going to touch his toes, I'm going to have to get down. I have to get down to his toes and make some energy and effort. And the reality is, when it comes to service, it takes energy and effort to do that, in the sense that you have to bend down to touch toes. There's humility required in service. But then the question is, often is asked, well, which toes do I touch? Because there's a lot of toes out there. You know that form? 75 people needed. Wow, that's 75 toes. Whew, which toes do I touch? This is getting very complicated now, James. It's one thing putting a form in, but it's which toes do I touch? You know, so what people do is they take what I call the spiritual toe test, or that's also known as the spiritual gift test. But the problem is, they often only show you what you've done before. They don't show you what you could be doing in the future. So people think, well, I need to read some more books. If I read enough books on toe touching, then I'll know what I should be doing. Or they say, well, maybe I should go on a training course, how to touch toes. Then I will know which toes I should be touching. Or maybe I should spend an hour with the pastor. Pastor, please pray for me. Please pray for me that I might know which toes I should be touching, because there are so many toes, I'm not sure what to do. When we think about this whole question, don't expect the answer to land on our lap. Don't expect the answer to be written in a blazing sign in the sky. How do we discover where to serve? Have a go. Have a go. When I think about all the opportunities I've had and the ways I've grown, it's when I've had a go at different things. And maybe you're not. Maybe you find out you're not Pavarotti. That's okay. Someone will probably tell you. And then you can have a go at something else. And when you start hitting the children in Sunday school class, Connie will probably say, well, I think this may not be the right area for you. Okay? But have a go, I say. Your children are safe. But it's one thing to touch the toes. But finally, we see that we need to wash the feet. Wash the feet. After that, he began to wash his disciples' feet. So the reality is to touch the toes is one thing, but to wash the feet takes time and energy and effort. It takes humility to touch the toes. Yes, I have to bend down. But to wash the feet, well, I have to do that carefully. The reality is that if we take the towel of service, if we reach down and humble ourselves and touch the toes, then it requires commitment to actually wash the feet. It takes time and energy. And again, one of the things we've tried to do here is just give some indication of what time or energy required. And some roles take longer than other. So for example, Tamo was here at 8:30 this morning. And if I don't go on too long, then he may be able to leave by 1 o'clock today. And so that's a commitment to be on the worship team. Some other roles take very little time at all. Some of the roles in the Sunday school, what I call, you know, muck foot washing roles. You just have to turn up. Whereas other roles take time and energy. And so these are important things. And the reality is the feet and the jobs, they're often like that. They're far more like that. They can be messy, smelly. You can be under-recognized for your foot washing. You can be underpaid. You can be undervalued. You can go unthanked. But the reality is we need to realize that it's not easy. And even as Jesus was there, we need to realize that he washed Judas's feet, didn't he? There was Judas, going to betray him. And he could have skipped him over. He could have thought, well, I'll skip over him because he's going to betray me. But he took Judas's feet in his hands and began to wash them. Reality is we can let reasons and circumstances or other people even, you know, well, you know, that person is serving there, or I'm not sure if I'm going to like that person, or I'm not sure I'm going to get on, or will I be appreciated? All the Judas factors. Jesus didn't worry about the Judas factors. He just got down and washed the feet. You see, and the call is to wash right-looking, respectable feet, as well as dirty, despised feet. Because the reality is, what we need to see is we need to see beyond simply the act of washing the feet. But we need to think about whose feet am I washing? When you get involved in an area, are you doing it for the church? Are you doing it because, well, you know, Louise has produced a nice leaflet and the church has said, well, there are 75 places we still need to get filled? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for me? You see, what Jesus said is, I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You're washing my feet when you do these things. It's for no one else. This is for me. I hear that. When you come in, when you pick up an area, when you choose to get involved in an area, you're washing Jesus' feet because you're serving him, no one else. And that means he alone is the one to look for praise and recognition and thanks. The well done, good and faithful servant. And so Jesus says to us, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, because we know these things, because we've read this passage now, we know these things. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You see, at the heart of this is the understanding that Jesus took up the towel for us. He took up the towel of suffering. He took up this towel of death. That's what he did. He took up the towel for us. And he didn't just wash our feet and touch our toes. He washed our very souls inside out on the cross. And he cleansed us through what he did on the cross. And so even as he comes and washes the disciples' feet, there's a bigger storyline that's going on, which is, I have washed you. Will you now go and wash feet? I've washed all of you. Will you now go and wash feet? And we're not just talking about a Sunday thing here. We're focusing on that this morning. This is a Monday to Friday thing. As you go out in your homes. You know, this week we've had a sick family. I haven't been a very good foot washer this week. I touched a few toes, but I don't think I really washed feet. But it's a great opportunity to remember when you're in your homes. Well, I'm going to put on that servant's towel. There are some things that need doing. And I'm not going to worry about, you know, maybe who's not doing them. I'm going to serve. The Monday to Friday, you got the servant towel on. It's an opportunity to serve and bless people and wash their feet as you listen to the Lord. And today we're focusing on the Sunday thing just because that's what we're doing. But I don't want you to just apply it to a Sunday. This is far bigger than a Sunday. And so what we're going to do now is just give you a moment to ask the Lord, is there an area of service that you may be calling me to try out? Just ask him that question. And if you don't hear an answer, then have a go. That's what I say, okay? Last week we had question mark. There's no question mark. There's either, I think there might be an area that he's calling me to try out, or I'm going to have a go. Because he can always redirect you on the way. God's good at redirecting people. You see, and so I'm going to give you a chance, just 2 minutes to do that, and you can listen to the Lord. And what we've done in the form here is it says either I'm going to continue serving on this team or I'd like to join this team as well. And it's got the first or second service, so maybe you can take your forms out now. And then once you fill the form in, again, as I said at the start, you can just come forward and write your name on a post-it note. And maybe if you're serving in, say, for example, youth, you're already serving Youth 11, put your name down there. We want to recognize all your service you're currently doing. But if you thought, actually, I'd like to maybe try out the sound, then put your name down there and put it here as well. Okay, I'm just going to give a couple of minutes of quiet. Just so you can listen to the Lord in this area. Maybe then just take a moment and just maybe turn to your neighbor and just share maybe either what you heard or the area that you may want to have a go in. So just turn to your neighbor and just have a quick, just share. As I listened, I heard this area, or I thought I might want to have a go at this area. Just share with your neighbor briefly. And then just as the band begins to play, I just invite you to come forward to place your forms in the baskets and also to put your name down. And we haven't got every area of the life of the church here. We've decided just to focus on some of the Sunday areas this morning. Just put your name down if you're currently serving in that area or if you'd like to try that one out. And then at the end of the service, some of the team leaders are going to be available for you to have a conversation with. As well. So I'll say a bit more about that at the end of the service. So do come forward as you're ready.
Give myself away.